What a day in the world of sports. And joining us right now, he has been a fan favorite of this radio program. He's always, I don't think he's ever said no, which is amazing because everyone says no to us. Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel at Rex Hoggard GC. I mean, how many hours do you think you put in yesterday just working on this story?
No, the hate line is Twitter. I see what you're saying. But look, all those eggs show up, and I mean, they might as well be faceless people. I mean, if yesterday was any indication, that is nothing but a hate line.
Yes, it is. I guess it all of it is. What was that like for you yesterday as a reporter to follow that story as it broke early in the morning and then chase it down the rest of the day?
The irony is Monday, and it's what we call Golf's Longest Day. And it was Golf's Longest Day. I started at 4:30 a.m. Monday and didn't finish up until, didn't get back to my room until almost midnight. It was qualifying for the U.S. Open, and it's a fun day. We look forward to it. What you don't expect is to have the next longest day, the very next day, getting off a plane. So it was interesting. And look, I mean, you guys do this. We're all kind of in the same business. And there's an exhilaration that when something's happening that's historic, and I would say yesterday is a historic for the PGA Tour, it keeps you going. And then, but by the time everything ended last night, there was a crash. It was a long day.
Well, yeah, Rex, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. Last year at this time, if you said some sort of an agreement like this was going to take place, wouldn't it have been a million to one odds?
If you'd have told me that we would have been here a year from now, I'd have said probably more than a million to one odds. I will say, and this isn't me bragging or trying to pretend like I know more than other people, I had conversations with plenty of people, and I think I probably said this, it's plenty of outlets, that there will be a day when the two sides will have to come together. There's no other option. Like, these, you can't live independently from each other in this universe. I just didn't think that was 12 months away. I didn't know if it was 12 years away. Like, I actually had a conversation with a player from LIV about this last year at a tournament. And on the record, he said he didn't come together the leadership. Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour. But the same applies to Greg Norman and LIV Golf. And he goes, absolutely. Like, both sides were so entrenched, it was nearly impossible to figure out how this could happen.
Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel is with us right now here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. You mentioned Greg Norman. I mean, he, like the rest of the world, found out 5-10 minutes before they made the announcement on CNBC, which is remarkable because Rex was such the figurehead. He was the face of this entire tour. I'm curious, what do you think a year from now? Is Greg Norman and Jay Monahan a part of this?
No. And I hate doing this. I've said this a couple times now. I hate sort of the sports radio thing that, the coach needs to get fired or the GM needs to get fired. Like, I never feel comfortable with that. And that's kind of what I'm doing here. I only say that for two reasons. One, both Greg and Jay have been so outspoken and so critical and so harsh to the other side. And, like, somehow they're supposed to find a way to shake hands and get to work and roll up sleeves. Like, I don't know how that happens. And to be clear here, and this has been misconstrued throughout the last 24 hours, this is not an agreement between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. This is not a merger between those two entities. This is an agreement between the PGA Tour and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. And that needs to be pointed out, that in that agreement is to create a new entity that doesn't have a name. I'm not quite sure LIV Golf's going to be around a year from now.
Yeah, because I'm glad you brought that up, because we took issue this morning with listening to Rory talk about this. This has nothing to do with LIV, and the PGA Tour is just going to operate like it normally does. And I maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I guess it's just a difference of opinion, but I just don't see how he can live in that reality of the world of golf. This is clear to me. I mean, this entity in Saudi Arabia is worth $600 billion. They have bought professional golf. And now, whatever name they're going to use can change here soon, but this isn't just like status quo, I don't think. I mean, this is a clear signal to me that this group is now going to be running golf, and that, I mean, whatever decisions they want to make moving forward, it will be their decisions because they're the money behind the project.
To a certain degree, I think you're right. I think bought professional golf right now might be premature, only based on what we know, and we don't know a lot. But based on what we know, the governor of the Public Investment Fund will become a member of the PGA Tour board, a member. He's not going to become the chairman. He's going to be one of 10 members, which means in theory, he'll have one of 10 votes. Now, you're right. It sounds to me there will be an incredible amount of money from the public investment fund invested into this new entity. But I'm not quite sure, number one, what that looks like and how that fits into the current landscape. And two, exactly, like, what is that going to mean to golf? Because the release said yesterday, we're still going to do all of the normal things. There will still be a Canadian Open next year, and it'll be 72 holes, and there won't be a team aspect to it. Will the week before be some sort of team event that's run by this new entity? That's what we need to figure out going forward.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Rory, too, I mean, he softened his stance, and he's known for being so candid and outspoken and against LIV and everything that it stands for or sits for, whatever. And then how much do you think he was being honest today, or was it just PR from him?
I think anytime Rory talks, there's honesty. Now, is he being entirely forthright? No, because sometimes he can't be entirely forthright. I think it's shocking that he got the phone call about the same time everyone else did this morning that this was happening. Now, he did say that he knew that there was talks going on, which is more than most of us who pretend to be insiders can claim, because this did come out of left field. In this particular case, I think his hands were tied so much. And I think he went about as far as he was able to go. Given the circumstances, you are now partnered with Saudi Arabia, for better or worse. And you have made statements in the past, and this starts 3 years ago in Mexico City, when he famously said the line that I want to be on the right side of history. Mm-hmm. And so there's only so much you can dial that back. There's only so much you can take back. And that's what I said about Monahan and Greg Norman. Like, there is so much animosity here. It's going to be difficult to see how this goes ahead.
I'll ask. I mean, I'm going to ask you to speculate here, so I apologize about it. Do you believe that Rory and Tiger did not know that they found out the same time we did?
I do. I do. And I know enough people, and trust enough people, and know that enough people are close enough to this situation who have told me they did not know.
Wow, that's amazing. That is just, it is simply amazing. I mean, you know that. I mean, you've been covering sports for a long time. I mean, this day and age of social media and just everything to keep this under wraps. There have been, which is remarkable, Rex, there have been some who have speculated that this is rushed. Do you know why this was rushed? Was there someone that was planning on releasing details that had the story? What is maybe the scuttlebutt been around the golf world of why this was thrown together so quickly? Because people in the meeting said there was really no details about the situation at all.
No, I don't think anybody was about to break this story, if that's what you're asking. Mm-hmm. It did feel rushed. And so to that point, as best I could tell, there was five people in the world who knew about this on Monday night. And it was Jay Monahan. It was two members of the PGA Tour Policy Board who pretty much blueprinted this. There was the governor of the Public Investment Fund, and I keep referring to them as that because I am not very good at saying his name, so I apologize right now.
It's okay.
And then there was the chairman of the DP World Tour, the European Tour, Keith Tully. That's it. So only five people knew on Monday night when this deal was finalized. What I have heard and what makes more sense to me is that there were things that were going to come to light in the antitrust lawsuits that perhaps they wanted to preempt and didn't want to start going down this road. Because I truly believe the reason the tour got here, the reason Jay Monahan finally got to this point where he was willing to have a conversation, is because the lawsuit was going to be so draining and so exhausting. And there was going to be things that came up that they clearly did not want out in the public realm. Now, whatever that is, I can only speculate, and that would be dangerous and wild speculation. The other half of this is he probably looked at the landscape and said, okay, we're winning right now, but will we be winning 10 years from now when the public investment fund continues to invest billions and billions of dollars to go up against us? He chose right now, this moment in time, because it was probably going to be his best moment. This is the moment of strength. This is my best opportunity to get in here. I don't believe anybody was going to break this story. It was probably just things they wanted to preempt and get it out there and try to move forward.
Anybody ever ask him why not just drop the 501c charity route, which many people, including ESPN Outside the Lines, we talked about this the other day, has reported that is to a degree a farce of what they do, which is kind of commonplace with a lot of charities, especially involving athletes. Why not just drop that, and would that have saved them?
I think, and I've seen a lot of stories about this. I've talked to a lot of people who are a lot smarter than me. The model of the PGA Tour would be severely hampered if they did drop that 501c3 status and because of the tax exempt status. I can't tell you the particulars of exactly why. It's largely because the tour is a charity, but it's all the other charities that kind of feed into that. And by that, I mean every tournament is pretty much its own charity, and every tournament is donating money to whatever their local charity is. And so the tour is able to feed off of that, which I get where you're coming from. It sounds like a bit of a farce. I mean, it depends on what you feel about how that works out. I don't know if this is because of that. I can tell you as a result of that, I just literally got an email 5 minutes before I went on the radio with you guys that there's a congressman who has proposed a bill to strip away their 501c3 status. This isn't the first time that happened, and my guess is cries for this are going to get louder and louder.
Brandel Chambly, we know what he thinks about the LIV and the merger, whatever you want to call it. I appreciate what he had to say, saying it was one of the saddest days in the history of golf yesterday. Do you agree with that at all, Rex, or you think that's going a little too far?
Brandel has been very opinionated, and I'm not in a position, he would never want me to, and I don't want to defend him. We pay him for his opinion, and his opinion has been very strong on this, and I would say the same thing about Eamon Lynch, my colleague, who works for Golf Week magazine. The only thing I will say is that much like Jay Monahan, much like Rory McIlroy, they've been put in an impossible position. I'm not quite sure. I understand the motivation to put Brandel Chambly on air yesterday. I was sitting in my home studio waiting to go on right after him, and I felt a large amount of sympathy for him because I know he still believes in what he said. But right now, there's no other option for him than other to accept this, which is essentially the exact same thing that Rory said today.
Yeah, there was a good, I think it was a follow-up question by Rich Lerner yesterday. I think he was just asking him, are you going to continue to call golf, was basically what he was asking him. And he said, yeah, listen, I'm paid to call golf and talk about golf swings, and I've wanted to get away from this. But, you know, because this storyline has been so prevalent in the world of golf, it had to be discussed. He shared his opinion. I mean, That's all we ask for in this business.
Yeah, but
just
we wondered about that, though, right? I mean, I don't know. Do you get talked to at the Golf Channel about things you can say and can't say?
I do not, because I'm a reporter. And I'd like to think that I've done a decent job of that. And look, I've had this conversation with a lot of different people. It's not my job to have an opinion about LIV Golf or the Saudis or whatever the case may be. It's my job to report the facts. In a lot of ways, that makes my job so much easier than it makes Brandel Chambly's job. Because when I go on air, I'm telling you what I'm hearing and what I know. Not what I feel like I think I know. Yeah. And in this particular case, no one has ever come to me because I don't think they would ever have a deed. I mean, because if I'm saying something, it almost 100% came from somebody else. It came from a player or an agent or another source.
Hey, Rex. And again, Rex Hoggard is with us, Golf Channel. Follow Rex on Twitter. He's a great follower. He's a terrific reporter. Now, sometimes with that notepad thing, he has admitted to us that there's really not much on there, but it's for show on TV. Right, Rex?
I didn't even say show. It's crutch. It's like my blanket. I just need it when I'm on air. There's too many. It's coming at you fast, man.
You can follow him on Twitter, Rex Hoggard, GC. What is there anything the players, right? It was not a lot of the best players were in that room yesterday just because it's the Canadian Open. And, I mean, there certainly were some good ones. There's infamous report coming out that Grayson Murray swore at Rory McIlroy. Rory told him, you just play better. There obviously is divide with the players. Not everyone's going to agree with this. Is there a step the players can take? Do they have to vote on this and approve this? And is there a chance that they vote against it and this does not happen?
Well, this is inside baseball and nuts and bolts stuff, and I'm sure that no one listening cares. But the way it has to work going forward, and look, that I would argue that Monahan and a lot of people went outside the lines even agreeing to this sort of shell of an agreement before this, because the way it's supposed to work is there's a policy board and they're supposed to debate this and they're supposed to vote on it and approve it or not approve it. And when it's something this big, my understanding is they actually have to approve it twice. Like, yeah, it has to go through the process twice. There's a 16 member player policy board, a PAC, that also has to be involved with this process. None of that happened. So going forward, whatever, and I mentioned it, like whatever the nuts and bolts of this entity is going to be, however it's going to work into the current ecosystem, however you're going to allow the players who join LIV back onto the PGA Tour, whatever those specifics are, now has to go through that process. And not so much Grayson Murray, because he's not on the PAC or the policy board, but the players will have a say. And I can tell you that from what I heard from last night's meeting, there's a severe lack of trust right now when it comes to the players and their leadership. And the commissioner's job is probably only going to be harder going forward, trying to convince them that whatever it is this is going to look like needs to happen.
Yeah, I'm just, as a golf fan, curious as to, you know, whether there's going to be a team aspect next year, whether the LIV is going to operate separately, whether the PGA Tour is going to go on as we always have known it, or what's going to happen. I mean, when do we start getting some of those details about how that's going to work out?
The conversations haven't started, and that doesn't help. And I wish I could give you a better answer. But again, everyone was shocked yesterday when this came out, all the way up to and including Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. And they're going to be involved in this conversation. And you're going to have to imagine that, I guess the best case scenario is, okay, the new entity will be online next year. I can tell you that the PGA Tour hasn't even released their schedule for next year, that they were still trying to put that together and all the moving pieces that go into that. So how they were able to work this second entity into what was already going to be a very challenging schedule, man, I wouldn't want that job.
Hey, what does this mean for the Ryder Cup?
This year, nothing. I think I would argue that Brooks Koepka had already pretty much wrapped up his spot, at least in my opinion, talking with players. Certainly, I think there's a large belief, Rory put a voice to this. Like, look, he's second on the list now. It's hard to believe that he falls outside the top six automatic qualifiers. So I would imagine Brooks will be on that team. If you have another LIV player, another U.S. LIV player, that plays well in the next two majors, you could even see more on that team. The way it works on the European Tour is pretty much all of those players have turned down their membership. And you have to be a member to be a member of the European Ryder Cup team. I said pretty much, not all of them. There's still a handful of them, and I can kind of go down the list with you.
Sure.
Who could catch lightning in a bottle over the next two majors. You're talking about next week's U.S. Open, and of course the Open Championship in July, where if somehow they play well and get on the radar, we'll start having another conversation. But that seems far-fetched. So as it stands right now, you'll have one player between the 24. And I think, I don't know that that will be very disruptive.
So, like the policy with Zach Johnson, there's six automatic and then he can pick six. That's not the same with the European. Like Luke Donald doesn't get to just pick six guys he wants?
He can pick six guys he wants, but they have to be European Tour members. So okay. Take, for example, I think the best example, Sergio Garcia is probably the one most people would say, yes, he may or may not have been on that team. He's turned down his European Tour membership. So it's just written into the bylaws, like he has pretty much turned down ever being on the ride or ever being on the European team this year.
What about Poulter?
I believe Poulter has also turned down his tour membership. Has already, and this has everything to do with fines.
Yeah.
They were fined, if you remember, and again, this goes back to April. There was a judge in the UK who ruled in favor of the European Tour, and they had fined players. And so they had gotten a really, really large amount of fines. I know one player had gotten about almost €500,000 fine. And so they were really kind of up against it. And most players just turned down their membership because they didn't particularly want to pay the fines. I know some did not.
Do you think Zach Johnson would pick Dustin?
Maybe. And I say that only because, well, it's twofold. One, if Dustin plays well, and he hasn't played, I wouldn't say well enough in the first two majors to justify that existence. But if he does anything sort of in these last two majors and at least gets on the radar, I'm talking, maybe move to 20th on the list, 25th, somewhere around in there, then I will tell you that of the players, all the players who'd left to go to LIV, he's the one everyone misses the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've mentioned that before. Hey, go check out Rex Hoggard, Ryan Lavner. They do a podcast together. It's up there. Follow Golf Central at Golf Central. Also follow Rex at Rex Hoggard GC and Ryan Lavner GC. Podcast discussing all of this, more details. A wealth of knowledge, as always. Thank you for always saying yes to it. I know it's been a busy 24 hours for you guys, 48 hours, and will continue to be. So we always appreciate the time, Rex. Thank you.
Of course, you guys have a great day.